We're doing the Kovetz Mamarim. We're up to page Chafei, and this is actually a piece that Rav Chanan Wasserman printed within his own work, but it's really a quote from something the Chafetz Chaim wrote. So it's he's quoting a piece that the Chafetz Chaim wrote. Remember, Rav Chanan Wasserman was the top student of the Chafetz Chaim. And we begin. Hinei, Bezrat Hashem Yitbarach. The name of the article is Ma'amar Malecha Nirdam. Why are you sleeping? Which is really a quote from the verse, what the captain says to Jonah on the sea, on the ship. But the captain says to Yonah, what are you doing sleeping when everyone else is perturbed and we're worried that we're drowning? So that's the title, that's the heading here, Malecha Nirdam. And this is a work that the Chafetz Chaim wrote to arouse people to do tshuva. Bezrat Hashem Yitbarach, hinei lifnei kama shavuot pirsamti, a few weeks ago, says the Chafetz Chaim, I published odot harash hagadol shehaya bearcenu hakdosha, shebo zirazti l'kla Yisrael l'tshuva. There was a great earthquake in Israel. Maybe this was the earthquake in Tzfat. And he says, when we got word of the great earthquake that was in Israel, so I wrote an article encouraging everyone to do tshuva. And I wrote, says the Chafetz Chaim, that the earthquake is really a warning sign for the whole world, that we all have to repent and to remind themselves that whatever happens is coming from Hashem's hands. And it's not a coincidence that all these terrible news, all these terrible things have been happening to us this year. So he says, it's not a coincidence that all these terrible news has come to us this year. And the Chafetz Chaim writes, we just got another piece of bad news, terrible news. It seems there was a great flood in Poland, that many people died that year. And then there was a great earthquake in Russia, shenehu me'ot ve'alafim, that hundreds and thousands were killed, anashim nashim ve'tafu ve'ema rabba, men, women, children, and cattle, all were killed. V'chama mem shenasu batem kivrem, and so many people whose houses became their burial, that their houses collapsed on them. V'gam b'mdinatenu hergishu mat b'rasha zeh. Here in Poland, says the Chafetz Chaim, we sensed the earthquake a little bit. Bevadai tochas pachad v'rada lekol ish mevin ma zeh asa Hashem lanu. Undoubtedly, anyone who understands what Hashem has done to us will be gripped with trembling and fear. Halohu tov u'meitiv lekol. Hashem is good, and He does good to all. V'rachamav al kol ma'asav. He has mercy over all His creatures. V'lo chafetz afilu b'mot adam rasha. Hashem doesn't want a person to die, even if he's wicked. Ki dichtiv, as the verse says, Chai ani ni'um Hashem im echpotz mot rasha, ki im b'shuvo midracha v'chai, or v'chayat, says in the pasuk. I don't want the wicked to die, Hashem says. I want a person to repent and live. Right? We're going to get to that pasuk in Ezekiel. Ela mevin yavin, but rather, if one has understanding, he will understand. Shem zarez otanu hakadosh baruch hu letshuva. Hashem is spurning us on to do tshuva. Umare lakol shebiyado lasot kol ma sheyirtzeh. And He's showing all of us how He has the power to do whatever He wants. And what creature exists up above, down below, who could tell Hashem what to do? And how to behave. If you recall, a few years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, a volcano gave out ash into the air, and they had to suspend flights over Europe for 2 or 3 days. You guys remember that? And we had terrible blizzards in Chicago and New York. Someone showed me a picture. Yeah, the snow in parts of New York was taller than me. You saw houses that had, I didn't know they built roofs so well. There were houses there that had over 5 feet of snow. I don't know how roofs handle 5 feet of snow. I didn't know roofs can handle that much weight. I was like, wow. They showed me pictures of people with snow blowers going down their roofs, taking snow off the roofs. You had snow going higher than the windows. So a businessman told me, he said he was talking to a friend of his, and his friend said, "What do you say about all this? Isn't it terrible?" And he said, "Well, actually, it's awesome. It's awesome. We tend to forget the might that Hashem has. And Hashem does a little blizzard, and suddenly, boom, all of life comes to a standstill. And we live our lives, and we just forget the power, how powerful Hashem is, with such a small thing. Just make it snow. Gemarnu. Snow just piles up, and there you... I was blown away. I never saw such a thing in my life. Snow that was taller than 5 feet. I never saw that. You know, I
think the volcano blew on a day that the European Union voted something against us. And then they were covered with ashes for days and days, and they lost hundreds of men and down. That was
cool. The Chafetz Chaim says, when we see awesome things in nature, we have to pay attention. We don't know why Hashem does something, but we do know that we're supposed to take note. That doesn't mean we can pinpoint and say, here, it happened because of A or B or C, but maybe. Sometimes you notice a coincidence, and for sure, it should arouse us to remind ourselves of Hashem's might and our responsibilities. Ubaruli, the Chafetz Chaim says, I am certain, Shimayulanu Nevi'im Hashem, if we had prophets from Hashem, Bevadai Amdu Al HaMishma L'Ezreis Yisrael L'Tshuva L'Avinu Shebashamayim, undoubtedly they would be speaking now and telling us all to repent, telling everyone to do tshuva. U'v'ashob Avonotenu Arabim, in lanu bayameinu Nevi'im V'Shluchim, being that we don't merit having prophets in our day, Hum Zarez L'Olam Haydei Shluchim Achirim, so Hashem gives us other messengers. Hashem sends other messages. He quotes a pasuk, and this is so beautiful. We say this pasuk every week. Do we ever notice what the pasuk says? I always read the pasuk, Osem alachav ruchot, Hashem makes his angels winds. So I understood it to mean the angels fly by like the wind. Mishartav, Hashem's servants are eshlohet, burning fire. So I always understood it's a description of Hashem's angels. The Chafetz Chaim turns the pasuk around. He says, Hashem makes his angels into winds. When you see winds, tornadoes, you're seeing Hashem's angels in action. Mishartav, you want to see Hashem's servants? Look at Eshlohet, look at the burning fire. The volcano, a tremendous forest fire. So the Chafetz Chaim just takes the pasuk and turns it around. Same wording, but instead of the fire and wind being a description of the angels become the fire and the wind. He just switches it around. Same pasuk. V'inei matzinu etzel Yonah Navi. Now we will see why this piece is titled this way. We find by Jonah the prophet. So before we continue to the second paragraph, what did we see so far? He says, tremendous natural disasters have happened, and more than one this year. One after another after another. And he says, undoubtedly this is a sign to us, hey, wake up. Hashem is sending these messages. He doesn't have prophets. We don't merit having prophets. So Hashem causes awesome things to happen to remind us, hello, wake up. And so we have to take note. That was paragraph one. Now, the danger in this is when we start thinking that we know why. You know, when we start saying, this happened because of that. That's very dangerous. You know, you can come up with all kinds of explanations. I remember there was a year when California and San Francisco had one natural disaster after another. They had forest fires, and they had floods, and they had... And people started saying it's the 10 plagues. People started saying it's because there's so much immoral behavior. And I always shied away from that, because I don't know. You know, I don't know how to point and say this is because of that. I don't know. והנה מצינו אצל יונה הנביא בית שאמר לו הקדוש ברוך הוא שילך לנינווה ויוחם על מעשי מרים שעלתה רעתם לפניו. We find by Jonah the prophet, we're in the second paragraph, Hashem tells him, go to Nineveh and rebuke them over their evil actions. Their evil has come before me, says Hashem, ולא חפץ יונה ללכת. Jonah does not want to go, משום שידע שאקום קרובים לתשובה. Jonah knows that the non-Jews, the nations, are easily swayed to do tshuva. V'imochichem l'maseim ra'im, and if he rebukes them over what they've done wrong, miyad shavu b'tshuva. By the way, I think it's worth noting, we read this line in Chazal that non-Jews do tshuva so easily. This is an insight into the stiff-necked people that we are. When Jews are stiff-necked, it's in every direction. We're stiff-necked that when the prophets come and tell us we should change, we say, who are you and why should I listen to you? And we're tough to change to do tshuva. But we're also stiff-necked that when the nations try to draw us away, we have these red lines where we say, I'm not doing that. And it's pretty remarkable when you speak to people, you see, Chazal gave us examples. They said there were kings who were idol worshippers, and they committed all kinds of heinous crimes. And then the enemy said, give us your Torah. We want to destroy your Torah. And suddenly they said, no, we can't do that. That was their red line. I can't give you my Torah. But you transgressed the Torah. But that's my red line. I can't give you the Torah. The Torah is sacred to me. And it's interesting to note that throughout our history, Jews have had red lines. You see this as a recurring theme, and then they become very stiff-necked. Suddenly it's a, no, I'm not going to do this. And you see the simplest Jew standing up and giving up his life on a principle, and you say, why? Why is that principle so dear to him? And you realize that's part of our stiff-necked. We're hard to do tshuva, but we're also hard to cross our red lines. We have those lines where suddenly we say, nope. That's not happening. So Yonah does not want to go to the non-Jews. V'imochicham al ma'aseim ra'im, he says, if I rebuke them over what they've done wrong, mi'at shavu b'tshuva, they will quickly repent. V'yitzel deiz ha'kitrug al Yisrael. And then in heaven there will be a claim against Israel, she'inam osim tshuva, that Israel refuses to repent. Achar shakadosh baruch hu sholech lehem avadav ha'nevim yom yom ashkem shaloach. Hashem repeatedly sends them prophets and they repeatedly refuse. Now, if Jonah goes to the city of Nineveh and then does not say over the prophecy, so then he's punishable with the death penalty. If a prophet withholds his prophecy, so then he gets the death penalty. So what does Jonah do? He says, let me go out to sea. And out there, I won't have any prophecy. Hashem won't give me the prophecy. And then, he'll be out at sea. He won't be in Israel. He won't have presence of mind in the turbulence of the sea. He won't have prophecy. And then he won't be transgressing Hashem's word because he no longer has the prophecy. He says, I'll go out to Chutzlarts. I'll win on two fronts. Klal Yisrael, the Jews won't be held accountable. And I won't be held accountable. So what does Hashem do? So there's a great wind at sea. And suddenly, everyone on board the ship is in danger. So the captain calls out to Jonah, who went to sleep at the bottom of the ship. He calls him and says to him, what are you doing going to sleep? We're almost dead, all of us. We're minutes away from sinking. And there's this tremendous tornado around us, and we're a footstep away from death. Get up and call out to your God. Maybe the God will have second thoughts about us, and we won't be lost. Now's not a time to rest comfortably and have confidence and sleep. We have to figure out plans. We have to think how to avoid death. Being that we, as the sailors of the ship, did everything we could do to save the ship, we threw everything overboard so that the ship won't be weighed down. So there's nothing left to do at this point but pray. There's nothing that can save us but pray. So get up, Jonah. Pray to your God that we should be saved. Okay? So he summarized to us the conversation. But he added a few vignettes here, right? Now, brothers, friends, we see that from heaven, they're judging us harshly in this world. And not a day passes that we don't hear fearful, awesome news. Now remember, the Chafetz Chaim is witnessing the economic collapse in the United States, in Europe. He's witnessing the bank closures. He's witnessing the natural disasters, which today, in hindsight, we know all of this was the prelude to World War II. All of this was the prelude to the Holocaust. He didn't live to see that. But he's seeing all these disasters and the economic times and the situation that's becoming very grave. And you know what they say whenever there's a crash, right? The way a crash works is the market goes down sharply, then it goes up and everyone thinks there's a recovery, and then it goes down further. That's the style of a crash. So it's always a question, do you buy into the market? When's the crash over? So that's what happened. You had the first crash, the first economic crash in the period of 1917 approximately. And then things seemed to get better until they collapsed again, which led to the economic struggles that led to the Second World War. The United States didn't get out of their depression till the Second World War. So back to the Chafetz Chaim. He says, look what's going on here. It's dangerous. It's scary. And he says it seems unfathomable to me that people aren't scared at all in the world. We read Netanet Tokef, right? On Rosh Hashanah we stand there and we say, who by fire? Who by water? Right? Who by sword? We say, who's going to die in which way? He says, the Chafetz Chaim, every one of those happened this year. He says, in this year, people have been killed by sword, people have been killed by fire, by water. Everything we worry about on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur has happened this year. And no one's paying attention. And everyone should be worried about themselves. We should pay attention. Bad things are happening in the world, and that means that in heaven it's been decided that they're taking us to task. So we have to believe that this is a warning sign, that there's worse waiting around the corner, says the Chafetz Chaim. Remember, the Chafetz Chaim did not live to see Hitler. I mean, they overlap, but he did not see the Nazi regime. And the Chafetz Chaim is warning them. This is at the end of his days, and he's saying, these are warning signs. Worst is yet to come if we don't do tshuva. Who could know what's waiting for us? And the more we postpone doing tshuva, so then the more anger that's going to build up against the world. And any person who has an inkling of awe of heaven, so every one of us becomes the captain of the ship that's coming to Yonah and saying, hey, wake up. So every one of us has a responsibility, says the Chafetz Chaim, to speak to the masses, the simple people. How important, how much we are responsible to do tshuva. Maybe Hashem will stop being angry at us. And if we don't take it seriously, and if we are lackadaisical about repenting, and we will be held accountable over what we delayed, what we postponed in tshuva, and we will still have to give an accounting for every day that we delayed. Now, we read this, and Baruch Hashem, we didn't have such tremendous natural disasters. We had this year, but every year we have. Today that we have the media, I don't think we can say that this year there were more natural disasters than other years. I don't think so. But I do think that there's another realm we have to pay attention to. Today they came out with a report that anti-Semitic crimes have hit an all-time high in New York City. You're not talking about France now. You're talking about New York City. We're living in a time where anti-Semitism is not creeping higher every year. It is thriving higher every month. Every month we witness new forms of anti-Semitism that are being embraced all over the world. And a person has to wake up and say, wait, what's going on here? This isn't the world we lived in 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Things are getting very serious. And it's true that throughout our history we've had enemies who wanted to see us down. But we also have to pay attention to what's happening now. And things are serious. And it's not one government. So you could say, okay, Egypt is now on our side. And Jordan doesn't want to, mess around with us. And Syria, don't forget. We have threats on every side. And those are the known threats. What's happening now throughout Europe and even in the United States, we're learning that we have more enemies than we'd like to recognize. ומאוד צריכים לשוב בתשובה לחזק את עצמנו. And the Chafetz Chaim is now going to give some specific advice. Where do we have to strengthen ourselves and do tshuva? במצוות שבת. He says, number one, Shabbos. החמורה, Shabbos is one of the severe commandments שנפרץ מאוד בעוונותינו הרבים. That Shabbos, we shamefully have to admit that Shabbos has been trampled upon. We have to be more careful in our own lives not to transgress Shabbos. Person has to pay attention. You have a family, you have a responsibility. They also have to know about Shabbos. Remember, when it comes to Shabbos, the Torah warns us, you and the minors in your home, your son, your daughter who are young, who are not yet a bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, you have a responsibility to teach them how to keep Shabbos. We have to remember to put on tefillin every day. When we put on tefillin, we're putting on a sign, we're testifying that we are his servants and we believe that he's watching over us. We have to be careful, says the Chafetz Chaim, with the prohibited relations. When a woman goes to mikvah, she should do it in accordance with halacha. Person has to review these halachot, the laws of family purity. If you don't review them, you end up making mistakes, and then the mistakes could have grave consequences. And so it is incumbent upon every rabbi in his city, and the regular people who fear Hashem's word. It's everyone's responsibility to ensure that every city has a place where you could learn Torah. He says a room. Today, Baruch Hashem, we have Batei Midrash. Be careful that the educators and teachers should also be God-fearing, Torah-observant Jews. That's the cry of these 2 decades. One of the reasons that we're seeing so many children who are intermarrying is because their educators were not knowledgeable. They made Judaism and Torah completely boring and pointless. They regurgitated the same concept for 15 years running. So the kid comes out and says, I got it. Okay, be nice. V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Okay, I know the whole Torah. Well, if that's all he's taught year after year, and this is what's been going on in many day schools. When I taught in international Bnei Akiva, so the students would come in and they say, we didn't know there was so much Torah. They'd look at a Shas and they'd say, we never knew there was so much to Torah. They kept teaching us the same ideas. So their educators didn't know. Chafetz Chaim says part of our responsibility is to ensure that the educators, the teachers, will be God-fearing people, Torah-observant Jews. וחלילה חלילה שלא למסור פניהם לבתי ספר של תרבות ויודישיסטין. And God forbid, send our children, in our day it would be to public school, שיקרא לימודם עם הכפירה ומינות, because what they're teaching is the antithesis of Torah. It's the beliefs that are antithetical to Torah. ומשושים בבנים הקטנים דעות ושיטות כוזבות. And they instill in the youngsters approaches and beliefs that are lies, and they mock the words of Torah and prophets. And you end up with a generation that's so rebellious, that's so twisted, that they mock anything that's holy. Anyone who sends his kids to school like this, It's as though he gave them over to a monastery. It's as though he gave them over to a house of idol worship, simply like that. And the Chafetz Chaim is coming home, boom! You know, he's hitting us hard. He's saying, this is what we have to think about. He talks about tshuva, so we'd think he'd say, accept Shabbos 5 minutes earlier. Because we today, Baruch Shem, are on a higher level. He's not saying that. He's saying, make sure the kids get Jewish education. You know how many children today don't get Jewish education? Today. Today. In Orthodox communities. How many parents say, I can't afford it? So here in Israel, Baruch Hashem, most people don't have that issue. But how many people here in Israel send their kids to day camp in Europe, which is actually being run by Christians, with the intent of convincing the kids to leave Judaism? You know, there are day camps that are basically free, and people who can't afford day camp get offers to send their kids to Europe to a multicultural sleepaway camp for a month or two. There's a lot of missionary activity in the country. People are offered free meals, and they're invited to movies and plays where basically it's being run by missionaries. There was a movie running here for a long time in Binyanei HaUmah once a week. Movie that was supposed to be about Tanakh. The only problem is they stuck in their figure in different parts of Tanakh. In Yetzias Mitzrayim, they had their figure hovering over the sea as it split. So people went thinking we're going to learn about Tanakh. They took their kids because it was a musical. It was artistic. It was a play. I say was in past tense. I'm not convinced they're done with it. I know last year it was showing here. I don't know if it's still showing. So we read this and we think it's distant from us. It's not distant from us. At the Tachana Merkazit, there's a missionary store. You walk to the Kotel, you walk by many missionary. The cafe on your way, right across the street from the police station, is a missionary cafe. And it says it in bold letters. So we read this and we're talking about today. We're not only talking about the Chafetz Chaim's time. And he concludes, he says, we have to strengthen ourselves in Hashem and His Torah, because our faith, our emunah, has been so weakened in these days. Because there have been so many books that are minut. How do you translate minut? Teachings of an apostate. How would you translate that? I don't know. Amir, I'll get to you in a minute. Let's just finish the paragraph. Shekofrim b'Hashem v'Torah. There are so many books being published that deny Hashem and His Torah. V'kimat en bayit shelo nimtza bo sefer ha'minim. And there almost isn't a home that doesn't have one of these books. So today, it might not be a book. It might be videos. It might be music. I don't know. Yeah? There's music that's antithetical to Torah. I don't know about it. I don't know. V'hem agomim l'rufyon emunah b'Yisrael. And the fact that we're all exposed to this, so this weakens the faith of Israel. V'al kol echad v'echad mi sheyesh b'yado l'ochech ul'varer godel hara'a shanu gomim l'atzmeinu al yedei zeh. And everyone's responsible. Whoever can explain to other people, can clarify how harmful this is. How harmful it is to leave such a thing in your home. Even if you're not reading it now. It's still prohibited. The Torah says, you're not allowed to bring disgusting things into your home. Now, a person asked me if you're allowed to bring a New Testament into the home. No. That's this. That's what we just read. Person says, I got it for free. Right. What does that have to do with anything? The Torah warns that one ends up being like the items they bring into their home. And if someone reads it or lets his family read it, that's what the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says. A person will not have a portion in the world to come. People say every day, I believe completely. Hashem is in control of everything. He created and He's still in control. So how is it that a person is not embarrassed to discuss these things? You hold on to books in your house that contradict the principles that you say you cling to. What's going on here? Are you so weak in what you say? A person reads or gives his family to read works that are contradictory to what we believe. And the person allows himself to do actions that are the exact opposite of emuna. Hayotze midvareinu, bottom line, says the Chafetz Chaim, kol echad ve'echad mi sheyesh bidu lezerez et bnei beto l'makriv miyudav letshuva, every person who can take care of himself, his family, his relatives, his friends, to do tshuva, chovah lav lasot, can everyone has a responsibility to arouse his community, the people around him, to grow, to do tshuva, v'alitatzel bazeh. A person shouldn't be lazy in this. And then the merits of the masses is contingent on him. And I want to tell you a quick story, because very often we read this and we think, what does this have to do with me? So, story, simple, but you'll see how it is relevant to every one of us. There was a shul that was having a discussion about a mechitza. What type of mechitza to put up? And the women started saying, we want a mechitza where we can see inside, we want a mechitza where we can feel like we're part of the prayer, we don't have to feel like we're in the back or we're cut off. So the men didn't know what to say because they didn't want to hurt their feelings. On the other hand, there are halachot about how to put up a mechitza. And then one of the women who came from, she had a simple job and her husband also had a simple job, you know, like a regular storefront, not, you know, the big Talmidei Chachamim of the community. The woman gets up and she looks at the other women sitting there and she says, aren't you embarrassed? Tell me something, aren't you embarrassed? We're talking about a shul, we're talking about a place of holiness. You want to stick feminism in a shul? I can't believe I'm hearing you talk this way. And she goes one by one and she calls them by name. And she says, Chava, what's with you? If your father were sitting here, he'd be embarrassed to hear you talk this way. You need feminism in a shul. Don't you think you should call the rabbi and ask him, what is a mechitza supposed to look like? You're going to sit here and bring your feministic ideas and say the mechitza should look like this or look like that? One woman changed the whole tone of the conversation. Now, she did what no one else could do. You could see the identical conversation when men sit down. Now, a young man was telling me he's moving into a new community. They're building a new hilltop. I said, how many families there? He said, we already have 35 families there. I said, fine. I want you to be the leader of Torah there. So he says to me, Rabbi, you know who you're talking to? See my jeans? See my t-shirt? See my little yarmulke? What are you telling me? I said, I'm telling you that if when you guys sit down to communal meetings about how you develop that hilltop, you, with your jeans, t-shirt, little yarmulke, if you say, we need a rabbi, we need Torah, we need a shir every day, if it comes from you, no one's going to say, ah, it's the frummy talking. They'll all respect it. You can move it forward. Sometimes we think, let the rabbi move it forward. No. Moshe Rabbeinu always davened, let there be people who push things forward. We have strength sometimes because we're not coming from the top. We're coming from the masses. We're grassroots. We're part of the people. And so we have an opportunity, you know. If a guy comes in and says, why don't we all learn before davening? If you come to three friends and say, why don't we have a chavrusa 5 minutes before mincha on Friday? So those people will show up on time. How many people show up on time to mincha? Go to the average shul, and you see the average person does not show up on time, right? The average shul has a second minyan outside and a third minyan outside, and another 30 people showing up late, right? Go to the average shul, and you see, when davening starts for mincha, you have about 25 people there. By the time you hit Kabbalah Shabbos, you have another 10, 15 people there. By the time you end Kabbalah Shabbos, you have another 10 or 15 people there. And then when Maariv starts, you finally have a full house. What's going on? Come on, we all know what's going on. Everyone's in a rush, and everyone has a lot to do. And it doesn't matter if Shabbos starts at 4:30 or at 7:30. We're all in a rush, and we're always late, right? But what would happen if you would say to five people, let's learn together Erev Shabbos. Let's get together with coffee, tea, cake, and let's have a learning session of 15 minutes before mincha. You know what that would do? The whole shul would be different. The whole shul experience. I went over to the Gabbai when I first came to Kochav Yaakov. I said to him, you know, I see you keep Rabbeinu Tam, and you work so hard for the shul. So I'll stay after shul, I'll learn with you, until Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, so that's another 15 minutes after davening's over. I said, one condition I have. If other people want to join, it's not a private session. It's available to other people. I will learn with you, but if other people want to join, they could join. A year passed, and he moved out of the community. But by then, we already had another 10 or 15 people who came to learn. Till today, we still have that learning session. After Ma'ariv Matzei Shabbos, I sit down with whoever comes. And almost always, there are over 10 people that come. We started just as a chavrusa. Shabbos morning, there was someone else who I felt we never get to talk. I said to him, why don't you and I sit after davening? We'll learn Hilchos Shabbos. For 10 minutes after davening, Chai Adam Hilchos Shabbos. Same condition. Whoever wants to join can join. But we will learn. Today we have over 15 people on an average Shabbos. He doesn't always come. But people come. People come who don't even daven with us and join the learning. And it doesn't have to be a rabbi. Every one of us. When the Chafetz Chaim says, affect the people around you, that means everyone can affect the people around you. And I'm giving you small ideas. If you say, let's learn one halacha at the end of davening, you've impacted everyone around you. If you start learning the laws of the 3 weeks, the laws of Tisha B'Av, one halacha, you don't cover the whole Shulchan Aruch, but you cover one halacha a day. The ability of each individual to affect Klal Yisrael is huge. We just have to take that responsibility. And sometimes, I wouldn't say sometimes, I think always, every person has the capacity to affect where no one else can affect. Don't assume someone else could and should do it. There are areas where no one else can affect but you. And the Chafetz Chaim concludes and says, V'Hashem yitakhnenu be'etza tova, Hashem should give us a good plan, lashuv b'tshuva shlema lefanav, to repent completely before Him, v'ivarchu b'shnat chaim v'shalom shnat gula v'shal lanu l'chol Yisrael. May we all be blessed with a year of life, a year of peace, a year of redemption and salvation for us and all of Am Yisrael. Hakotev b'lev nishbar, the one who writes, the Chafetz Chaim signs, instead of saying sincerely, he writes, he who writes with a broken heart, Hameitzer, who is so worried, B'tzarat Am Yisrael, with the afflictions of the people of Israel, Hamtzapeh Yeshua, I anticipate salvation, Yisrael Meir HaKohen, from the city of Radin, compiler of the book Chafetz Chaim and Mishnah Berurah. That's Chafetz Chaim's.